Hi, welcome back. My name's Michael. This is John. We're two of the pastors here at the Vineyard. And today we're coming to you from our auditorium, which, since we can't meet in it for worship right now, has become a bit of a storehouse for our Fruit of the Vine food shelf. You can see all the boxes back behind us.
That's a lot of food.
It is a lot of food. Thanks again for joining us today.
COVID-19 is my first pandemic, but I can tell you already that pandemics stink. They stink. This is hard, and I am tired of it, and I bet you are too. But you know what that doesn't stink, who never stinks, is Jesus. Jesus, he is amazing. Seriously, he is. And our hope is that during this pandemic that you can connect and have a powerful experience with Jesus. We'd love to help you connect with Jesus. We'd love to hear from you and find out what's going on in your life, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. We'd love to know how to pray for you. So please go to duluthvineyard.org/connect form and tell us what's going on in your life. Tell us how you're doing. We'd love for everyone to fill out the connect form.
Hey, on that connect form is a place to write something you're thankful for or something you're really thanking God for. Here's a couple of those. Bruce wrote, "I'm just so thankful for the Duluth Vineyard community. Praise the Lord." Janie wrote, "Thanks for being such a community helping church. I love this. It's always felt like home to me. Even as I type this from home, you are my other home." Hope wrote, "Thanks Vineyard for being my community for over 15 years. Adrian wrote, "Thank you for loving on our daughter with mature Christian wings. Your church is full of amazing people, and we feel so blessed to have a connection to your church." And several people, like Michelle, wrote, "Once this COVID stay-at-home order is lifted, is there any way that Vineyard's going to consider doing some sort of streaming services for those who are unable to attend because of health issues? It's something to think about." It sure is, Michelle. Hey, you guys, thanks for filling out the Connect form.
All right, let's take a minute and talk about generosity. The Duluth Vineyard community is incredibly generous. So many of you give your time, your energy, your money to do things like share the good news about Jesus and meet people's practical needs in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you so much for your giving. And there's so much more that we can do, particularly in this time that God is calling us into. Lots more to do. So I'm going to invite everyone to give, to go to duluthvineyard.org/give. And I'm not asking you to give because God needs your money. I mean, think about it. He's God, right? Even in a pandemic, he doesn't need your money. No, but God, he is after your heart. And giving changes our hearts. It changes our priorities. It makes us more generous. It helps us to participate in what God's doing. So check out duluthvineyard.org/give.
Hey, we are continuing a series of messages that we call Never Alone, because God never, ever leaves us alone. And so we've got a great story from the Bible for you today.
Yeah, many of us find ourselves more irritable, more, you know, fighting more during this pandemic.
Speak for yourself, John.
Yeah, I know. There's probably some people we should pause right now and I should call and apologize to them.
Do you need to do that?
Yeah, maybe we should. The truth is, though, what we find is that we're often fighting the wrong fights. Yeah. And today, what we're going to talk about is fighting a fight that matters, a fight that's really important in our lives. This Never Alone series, our goal isn't just to give you some tips on how to live well during a pandemic. Those aren't bad. You can get lots of those on the internet. But our goal is so much bigger than that. We want you to actually experience God.
That's right.
To experience his presence in your life and to have a new life. And the story we're going to look at today from Jacob is amazing in that regard.
That's right. So we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 32. And starting in verse 24, let me just read a few verses. It says, "So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What's your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip."
Yeah, as we see here, wrestling with God isn't pretty. It happens best when we are alone and we are weak.
Yeah, and if you think about this, alone and weak aren't exactly the words that we would choose to be, like the words that embody us, you know, as we meet any significant life challenge. Finally being alone, finally knowing our weakness is actually, though, a key to experiencing much from God.
Yeah, first, we need to get past arguing, wrestling with God, and just trying to get him to do things our way.
That's right, because this is where actually our wrestling with God begins. We want God to do the things that we want done the way we want them done. I love this quote from Jacques Philippe. The first level of wrestling is an expression of our inability to abandon ourselves trustingly to God and instead search for human security.
Yeah. And Jacob was moving past that. He was. Jacob was a scoundrel. You may know that. Jacob cheated his brother out of his birthright, which was a big deal back then. His brother Esau swore that he would kill Jacob. So Jacob had to run for his life. Jacob had fled. Then in chapter 31, verse 3, what we see is God tells Jacob, it's time to face the music. It's time to go home, to risk your life, and to see your brother. And Jacob is scared. He's coming up on meeting his brother. He wants to be alone. He wants to take some time alone. We see that in verse 24. Okay. See, we all need to wrestle with God alone.
That's right.
Now, community is great. There's lots of valuable things about community. You should be in a small group. But you may have noticed when we can't all get together in a place like this that you feel more distant. You feel more disconnected from God, like he's a little more unreal. You know, you come here and you feel the energy of the people and you hear folks' stories about how God has changed their lives, healed them, and you can see God is real. He changes people. That Holy Spirit energy, that gives us hope. It's a good thing, but don't mistake it for real change in our lives.
That's good.
Community people are great. They are. But there comes a point when we're alone. You know, I can tell you from personal experience, when they wheel you into the operating room, you are alone. When we're alone, are we going to just be alone? Or are we going to be alone with God?
That's really good. Yeah. So much of us fear being like completely alone, right? It's like one of our, we fill our lives with so much activity and so much screen time and so many other kinds of things because the thoughts that we have, the fears that we have, the things that just come bubbling to the surface in the midst of being alone can sometimes be so frightening. And yet this alone with God time is like super important to us.
Yeah, can we consent to that? Can we choose that? Like, God, I want to be alone with you. Now, during this pandemic, we have lots of opportunities for that. The other thing is we need to wrestle with God when we're weak. You know, Jacob was weak. He was scared. He was. I mean, he knows that he has screwed his brother, and his brother has sworn that he's going to kill him, and he's about to meet his brother, and he knows, he's heard that his brother is coming with 400 men. An army is bearing down on him. It doesn't look good for Jacob at all. And think about how crazy this scene is that we looked at. Jacob is doing what God asked. He's obeying. He's risking his life at God's instructions, and he's scared. He gets alone, a quiet time, solitude, and prayer with God. And what does God do?
Whammo! God clobbers him. God knocks him down. God, like, assaults him. And then he maims him for life.
Yeah, God isn't tame. You know, God just, he doesn't just love and accept everyone. God's willing to, you know, he's willing to kick the poop out of us if that's what we need. And look at Jacob, right? Jacob obeys God. If we do the right thing, we obey the rules, we pray, what does that earn us? It earns us an ass kicking from God is what it earns us. Seriously, think about how much God loves us. Oh my goodness, his love for us is so great. He wants what's best for us. So much he wants what's best. He's the enemy of our broken selves.
Yeah.
And God will wake us up. He will wake us up to the stupid things that we are doing, the ways that we are living our lives that are hurting us so bad.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great quote from C.S. Lewis. Lewis said, We can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Today, how is God speaking to you in your pain? Maybe it's the pain of the pandemic. Maybe there's sickness or even death. Some of us have lost people that we love. Maybe it's financial or job loss. How is God calling out to you through that pain and talking to you?
Yeah. And what are the things that he's waking up in these past few weeks? What are the insecurities that are bubbling to the surface, you know, that are getting dialed up that you're beginning to wrestle with? For those of you that are single and you've been physically distancing yourself, as you should be for the last 4 to 6 weeks, what are some of the things that are kind of lurking that maybe have always been kind of behind the curtain a little bit, but that are now like front and center? Like, rather than just wrestling with those things alone or trying to like medicate them or push them aside, I think God's inviting us to really interact with him through this and to bring those things right to him. Or if you're struggling with depression, it's like this could be a really difficult time for you. Or the other thing is like if you're a parent of young children and you're like, now it's been like a month of like being with them 24/7 in a way that maybe you weren't before. What are some of the things, just take a moment, some of the things that God is dialing up that maybe he wants to address deep inside you that aren't just escaping the situation, but actually staying in the situation?
Yeah, let's feel that pain. You know, Jacob felt the pain. God reached out and tapped his hip, and boy, did it hurt. I love the Hebrew there, is he just tapped it. Jacob knew instantly that this wasn't a big whack on his hip. This was supernatural. This was God he was wrestling with. Jacob saw the truth that his whole life he'd actually been wrestling with God. And then what Jacob did next transformed his life. He wouldn't let go of God. The only way that we can win is by holding on to God for dear life.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Jacob realized that the only blessing that mattered was God's blessing.
That's really good. It is. It's the only perspective, actually, that really helps us.
Yeah.
God's perspective.
The only way that we can win is to submit to God. We can actually give in to his will. A.W. Tozer has a great line on this, although it's confronting. He says, "The Lord cannot fully bless a man until he has first conquered him." I mean, let's think about our lives. Where does God need to conquer us?
Yeah.
Where do we need to submit to him?
Yeah. Yeah, I've thought for a long time, John, about how God can't actually really use you until you come to the end of yourself.
It's so true.
And it's the same kind of thing right here.
Yeah, and that's how it starts. You know, ultimately, the only way that we can win is holding on to God's weakness.
It turns out that, like, sacrificial love is the most powerful force on the planet.
Yeah, what Jesus did on the cross. It's the only thing that, the only way that God, so powerful God, can take losers like us and turn us into winners.
That's really good.
Through him sacrificing himself. So today, we'd just like to invite you to hold on to God in a new way. Maybe you never have. Maybe you've never made a commitment to God. Today would be a great day to say, you know what? I'm going to stop running from him, and I'm going to hold on. God, I'm in. I want to follow you.
That's right.
A lot of us look at our lives, and there's places where we need to hold on to God.
That's right on. And then at the other side of this wrestling, at the other side of this, there are two really cool gifts that Jacob gets from God.
Yeah.
So the first is a new identity, and the second is a new limp. You might think, how's that a gift? Let us explain for a minute. So first of all, the new identity. When you think about Jacob's birth story, it's kind of interesting. In Genesis 25, verse 26, it reads like this. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. Jacob just simply means he grasps the heel, which is a Hebrew idiom for he's a deceiver. He's a heel grabber. He's like a supplanter. And so if you look at Jacob's life, after Jacob deceived his father into giving him the firstborn son blessing, his brother said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he's taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." And yet after the wrestling, God says to him, "Your name is Jacob." Like but you'll no longer be called Jacob. We read this in Genesis 35. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I, God Almighty, says to him, be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. Mm. Israel means that he struggles with God, or that God rules, God reigns, and God heals. Mm. Here's the deal. As he wrestled with God, weak and alone, God gives him a new identity.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, like, what's the new identity that God may want to proclaim over your life or my life in this season where we're kind of wrestling with a pandemic? As we submit to him in our weakness, not trying to, like, prove ourselves, I think God might want to give us a new name. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, I know I say that a lot, but it's true, comes from Isaiah 62, verse 4, where the prophet says, no longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. Hephzibah simply means his delight is in me. God's delight is in me. And Beulah means married, or I belong to him. Mm-hmm. What the prophet is saying, no longer will they call you deserted or desolate, but what they're going to call you is my delight and you belong to me.
Yeah.
I love how personal this is.
Yeah.
I mean, for Jacob, you know, he had always been insecure. He was a mother's boy who, you know, his dad didn't like. He wanted so desperately to be blessed, and God went to exactly that place in his heart. For us, God goes to that place and gives us a new name.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe now our name is, you know, insecure. Maybe it's something we struggle with, what people think of us, and God wants to change our name to, you know, beloved child, you know, some child of God that I'm so proud of. Or maybe our name is, you know, prideful. That's been my name in the past. And God wants to change our name to, you know, broken but thankful.
That's right.
As he humbles us. Or maybe our name now, if we really thought about it, is selfish.
Mm.
And God wants to change our name to big-hearted and generous. God can transform us in this.
That's
he can
right.
give us a new name, just like he did for Jacob.
That's right. Our identity is so much more than what we can accomplish or even the good that we can do. As followers of Christ, we really are children of God. Whether or not we do good or whether or not we accomplish anything, our Heavenly Father doesn't love us because of the good we do. He loves us for ourselves because he has adopted us as his children forever when we surrender to him, when we submit to him. And that's why humility is so important. Humility locates our identity securely in the one place it can never be challenged. It can be safe from all harm. Listen, if my treasure is God, no one can take that from me. And my weaknesses are all true. Like, what I am in God's eyes is a poor child who possesses absolutely nothing, but who receives everything from him and who is infinitely loved and totally free. My identity has as its source the creative and infinite love of God who made me in his image and wants to live with me forever.
Yeah.
And I find that new identity as I wrestle with God. And then the second gift that Jacob gets is a limp. It's a whole new way of walking. I love this. Instead of trying to rule under his own strength, he is now allowing God to rule and direct his life, and the limp that he has is a constant reminder of that transition.
Mm-hmm.
You think about this. A limp makes you slower. A limp makes you appear weaker. A limp shows that you're physically less than perfect, and a limp is a gift from God in your life. I actually think our weaknesses are gifts from the Lord.
I totally agree with that. I look back at my own life, right? If I hadn't been through some things, I wouldn't trade having been through cancer. That's a limp, right? I have the scars. I keep going back to the doctor, but it keeps bringing me back to the lessons I learned.
Yeah.
That my life is not my own. Those limps are so powerful in our lives.
They really are. And we imagine that our limps, our weaknesses, our deficiencies make us unlovable, right? Since we're defective in a certain way that maybe we don't deserve to be loved. But living under the loving gaze of God, lets us realize that even in our weaknesses, we are totally loved. This is love that is freely given. This love is unconditional. It's not deserved. And our deficiencies don't prevent God from loving us. It's just the opposite. You and I can never become good enough to be loved. And yet, we're free to be ourselves and be loved deeply by God. And the limp, the weaknesses, are this constant daily reminder that I'm loved, I'm loved, I'm loved.
Oh, yeah.
And I could never earn that love. And that actually sets us free to pursue God in the highest degree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because what we see in the scriptures, in the New Testament, oftentimes the writers talk about how we're like saints. And I don't know if you look at your life. I look at my life and I compare it to somebody that I think really is a saint, like, let's say, Mother Teresa. And I think, dude, I am nothing like her, right? There's nothing in my life that lines up with like the goodness and the richness that I see in her life. Or is there? Like that's like my longing. That's the thing I'm constantly pressing into, because God's the one who's able to do that in me as I submit and I surrender to Him. He's the one able to make us into full-fledged saints. I think that's amazing. So that no matter how many times I fall flat on my face, I can get back and I can turn to God and I go, thank you, because you love me, and I'm sure that you can make me into the person that you want me to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. So there's this old line that we've used around the vineyard for years that kind of goes like this: never trust a leader that doesn't walk with a limp. And it comes right from this story. A leader, or I would say pretty much any person who doesn't have a limp, has probably never really wrestled with God, never wrestled with their own weaknesses, their own insecurities, their own inabilities or failures. The leader who looks like they have everything together probably has a lot to hide.
Yeah.
it could feel pretty depressing. So one of our goals is to constantly be bringing our weaknesses before God and really owning those things, so that we can experience God's love and grace and joy actually over our lives in that. It's in wrestling with God that we discover that He's all we've got to hold on to. We discover our true identity as flawed and deeply loved. We discover that our weaknesses, our limps, really are gifts from God to remind us of our deep dependence on Him. And so, like, we would just, John and I would like to just take a couple moments and just pray for us as a community.
Yeah.
And just pray that during this time of wrestling in the pandemic, that we would actually hold on to God and encounter Him in some pretty deep ways, and begin to see our deep, even some of our deepest flaws and weaknesses, as gifts that draw us into dependence on Him.
Yeah, and this doesn't happen automatically.
Through
the pain of something like a pandemic or a divorce or loss of a child, a lot of us experience pain in our lives, and that pain can make us bitter. It can take us away from God. Or we can allow that pain to draw us closer to Him, to transform us. And that's what really our prayer is for everyone today.
Yeah. So let's just begin by praying. And if you've never submitted or surrendered your life to God, let's just start there.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, thank you for your death on the cross for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the way, God, that you love me so much that you're willing to lay down your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just submit, I surrender to that love today. You know, being unconditionally loved is one of the scariest things that you can do, surrendering to that kind of love.
Yeah.
But Lord, I want to trust you, and so I surrender to your love today. And I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that you would begin the work of changing me, not in spite of my weaknesses, but through my weaknesses. Would you change me to be kind of the kind of person that you want me to be, a person that looks like Jesus?
Yeah.
I surrender to you.
Yeah, Lord, help us now to just take hold of you in a new way. You know, maybe it's for the first time, or maybe it's for the 100th time. Help us to see the places in our lives where we are wrestling. We think we're wrestling with other things, but we're really wrestling with you.
Yeah.
And we need a new identity. We need to stop doing the stupid things that we're doing. We need to stop living the way we're living, and we need to embrace you.
That's right.
And let you speak into our lives.
Yeah.
Lord, help us to submit to you.
and where bitterness or where just a anger has gotten hold, Lord, we just lay that before you.
Yeah.
We just lay before you. And would you bring your peace? Would you give us grace for even just the next few hours and this next week to actually see you at work in the lives of the, in ourself and in the lives of the people around us? Mm-hmm. We just say thank you, God, for your grace in our lives. And we welcome you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, we're going to have some announcements for you, and then we're going to continue in worship. So please feel free to hang out with us here.
Yeah.